coming up for 20 minutes to 11. You are listening to The Morning Review. My name is Lester Kiffer. Two opinion pieces in the last week. Don't cast Joburg, Johannesburg Metro, in a very good light. In one editorial on the news website New Frame, they describe Joburg as being in decay, in precipitous decline. Joburg no longer a city of trains and tracks, the rubbish piles high, and the water and electricity scarcer than the rest of the country. In another opinion piece by my colleague Mandy Wiener, writing in News 24, she says it's no longer a city of gold, but a city of despair. A list of failures, she calls. But one of my favorite documentaries, Have You Heard From Johannesburg? It really, really is sad to hear of the decline. Besides my home here, Joburg is my favorite city in the world. And I have the privilege of having traveled a bit. And really, I love Joburg. There's the hustle, there's the hum, there's the crisp mornings, that setting sun. It's beautiful. And of course, it's a local government election year, and politicians will play politics, and that's not the point of this conversation, because Joburg Metro has, for the half of the last 5 years, been governed by everyone from the ANC to the DA and every other supportive parties in coalition. I think the decay there speaks to a deeper malaise, and one that has knock-on effects for the rest of the country. And just among my friends, people who've called Joburg a second home, people who've moved from Cape Town, other parts of the country, to Johannesburg, they're asking, you know, is our time here up? You know, from the change in the nature of work brought on by COVID-19 in how we work and what work we do, to it's just not the place it used to be. That's some of the sentiment that I am getting. And as Tebo says in the WhatsApp line, your good morning list, I'm just surprised to learn that professionals are now moving to Cape Town. Over the past few years, we've been led to believe that professionals, especially black professionals, are leaving Cape Town for Johannesburg for better career prospects. We've had colleagues here in our company at Prime Media, because we're in the same stable, we're in the same corporate structure, that over the last 12 months, they've made a move permanently to Cape Town. And we want to know, why is this? Nobuko Sengwenya is a research fellow at the African Center for Cities, also going to be speaking to Renee Stegman, who's the director at Relocation Africa Group, about this migration from Joburg to Cape Town. But Nobuko, thank you so much for joining us. Just over the past few weeks, in opinion pieces and analysis, many people writing about the decay of Johannesburg. Of course, it's an election year. People try to take advantage of that narrative. But the problem, the malaise of Johannesburg has been setting in for some time, and it has impacts on the rest of the country. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lester, and good morning to the listeners. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's a process that's been happening over many, many years. And I mean, you could really argue that it's a process that happened that began in the mid to early 90s, around the dawn of democracy. Because what we saw in Johannesburg, particularly in the inner city, is that there was a flight of capital. And we really haven't recovered in Joburg from that flight, whereas other cities, particularly Cape Town, were able to kind of keep private capital reinvesting within the inner city, and so they were able to keep it kind of thriving and flourishing. Mm.
I don't know if you have friends currently in Joburg. I know plenty of people who did that great trip, Cape Town to Joburg, moving up there. Who are now telling me, especially with the onset of COVID-19, the different nature of work, you don't necessarily have to go to the office. Actually, I know someone who drove down from Cape Town to Johannesburg and was working on their laptop as they were driving down the N1. But also saying, look, it's because of COVID-19, the social interactions aren't there anymore. And that was one of the primary reasons why we stayed there, why we, despite the hustle, despite the work and the paychecks, it was the social interactions that just hasn't been there for the last 15 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got quite a few close friends who are up in Joburg. and some who've moved recently, but some who've been there for a while who are actually now looking at different options and different places to go. And the vibe is changed completely. I mean, one of the key reasons many would have moved to Joburg was primarily for the hustle. But now with COVID, and even before then, we're realizing that actually there is a different kind of hustle happening in Cape Town as well and in other parts of the country as well. Mm. And it's just about also then choosing what kind of hustle you want, but also in terms of the vibe and the quality of life that you're looking for. And Joburg isn't always able to provide that kind of very outdoorsy lifestyle that a lot of people enjoy in Cape Town, particularly myself included.
And I think of metros like eThekwini, Durban, also Absolutely. Experiencing a boom in professionals. Gqeberha, Nelson Mandela Bay Metro also experiencing some sort of boom, particularly within industry. And as industry grows there, people get attracted. Okay. But then, can South Africa do without a Joburg in whatever it means for us, the city of gold, the economic heartland of our city, the city built off the backs of migrant labor there, the seat of the JSC, and what was in the last few years the ever increasing political center of South Africa, with the ANC's headquarters in Brom, the Democratic Alliance also moving their national headquarters to Bruma Lake in Johannesburg. What would be the repercussions of a decaying and dismantling Joburg for the rest of the country?
I mean the one big thing would be that as more businesses move out of Joburg, the amount of revenue that's generated and then that ultimately goes back into the Joburg economy will decrease quite significantly, and that has a huge knock-on impact effect on in terms of service delivery within the Joburg and the greater Gauteng province. So that would be kind of the key measure. But I mean, I don't know if when you ask, can we do without a Joburg? I think that is a very poignant question, because the nature of work, not just locally, but worldwide, is changing quite dramatically. And I mean, COVID has just really accelerated the kind of conversations that we need to be having around what is the future of work. Right. We're seeing more and more that a lot of the jobs that we thought were actually tied to a desk in an office building can actually, with a little tinkering and a little IT support, actually be done anywhere in the world, really. So I think that needs to go hand in hand with planning for kind of a future city where we're not everybody's tied to an office desk. And also then that also raises interesting questions about how do we then redistribute kind of the income that is generated in other parts of the country then to Joburg, or places like Joburg that will ultimately be losing out on their tax revenue.
Does this also speak to the slow decline of a minerals industry? There's still plenty of mining happening on the platinum belt in the northwest, but in terms of, you know, what was seen as the city of gold mining in the Joburg era, and we've seen a very, very slow yet steady decline. That also then has an impact on the economic wealth of that city and how it corresponds with the rest of the country.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the mining sector is also in for a bit of a shakeup, because now you have also millennials who are also very conscious about the product that they consume and the materials that those products are made of. And at the end of the day, things like gold, things like your diamonds, and also coal to a major extent. Millennials are calling for a greening of the economy. Millennials are calling for greener consumption. And that will also ultimately impact kind of your mining sectors. And we'll see also a shift in those practices and a shift and quite significant shifts in those and declines in those sectors in response to a different kind of demand, a greener demand. From millennials, we're already seeing, I forget the company's name, where uses kind of is one of the biggest users of diamonds in the world, and they've actually taken a stand to say no, we're only going to be using lab produced diamonds from going forward. And I mean, that's a huge kind of because responding to that demand from millennials to say, well, no, we're not going to support diamonds that have been mined anymore. So definitely that's going to have knock-on effects on us.
I want to bring in Renee Stegman to this conversation, Director of Relocation Africa Group. Renee, you've been listening to my conversation with Nobukhosi. Are you noticing in terms of the moving companies, the logistic companies that are underneath your stable, that there is a slow trickle of growth, of movement, particularly of professionals from a center like Johannesburg to other parts of the country?
Hi, Lester, and hello to all the listeners. Yes, I've been listening with interest. We have certainly noticed definitely a movement of people in all different directions, actually. Joburg particularly, and it started, I would say, even pre-COVID. You know, a lot of them started looking at alternative solutions to Johannesburg. But I think, you know, often people say that COVID pushed those who were thinking about making a change in their lifestyle, has pushed them sort of to make that change, you know, now. And so there's been, obviously, with the work from home opportunities in some businesses, people who've moved down to their second home sometimes, or bought homes which are cheaper on the coast. Certainly, Joburg homes are cheaper than Cape Town homes, for example, so they may not come all the way down to Cape Town, so stopping in other smaller towns where they are, you know, buying basically a better lifestyle but still able to hold on to their jobs. But we've definitely seen, you know, I think people have been pushed to also make choices, you know, whether they've been pushed from losing a job perspective and needing to find alternative work, which may have made them move, or even look at overseas options, or, you know, there's the pull factor as well. So if they have limited choices, you know, we have golden visas and those sorts of things, which people are also, a lot of our friends are looking into, get those opportunities so that they have more choices as to which other countries they will go and live in. And I think COVID has exacerbated what has always been in front of our eyes in terms of a country that is, you know, not efficiently run. And again, the vaccine rollout, you know, those who are older and retired who've perhaps from foreign base like Germany or the UK or Holland have been looking and saying, well, you know, this was great, but my family's all back home and it's, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to get a vaccine, I am going to return home. So the move side of things has been a very busy part of the industry for the last 2 years.
Let's just touch on that. Look, and you speak about people saying they want to move home. I have a sister who lives and works in Qatar. I have a best friend who lives and works in China, and many people around the world who move for economic opportunities to see the world. But over the last 12 months, almost a little bit of an existential dread, saying that in light of this pandemic, I'd rather be home. So are we seeing also a lot of people moving back to South Africa, you know, after spending a good fair amount of time out of the country?
Yes. Yeah, there definitely are people moving back to South Africa to be closer to friends and family, as well as others in other parts of Africa looking at South Africa as an option to set up a home, because there's perhaps in their locations also a lifestyle that they no longer want to keep, and perhaps looking at Joburg and Cape Town for better solutions for there. So I think the movement is happening, you know, obviously dependent on country situations, you know, job situations, and then people's ability to sort of move around. So I think there is a huge flux at the moment where the dust will settle, I'm not sure. And also the work from home policies, a company, Booking.com, was saying they were adjusting their work from home, work from office policies, and they weren't rushing into it, because what they've noticed, a lot of the tech companies rushed into saying, we are going to offer people work from anywhere type of situation. So this nomadic visa popped up in various parts of the world. And a lot of those companies have retracted those offers because they're finding they want their teams back in office. There's a lot more collaborative work that, you know, was taking place within the organization that they didn't realize until people started working more remotely. So I think there is a lot of flux at the moment. And, you know, then we've got real logistical issues like, you know, the schooling system or housing shortages or all those sorts of things that are going to play into into the sort of logistic issues of people wanting to leave a certain place and go somewhere else.
Because okay, let me bring you in here. And of course, in migration for working class people is an economic factor. People will always move from a rural to an urbanized development, whether it be Cape Town or Joburg. That is something that is natural about the movement of people and economics. Yeah. But when it is, when it's middle class people, when it's professionals, when it's people making families, somewhat settled, and they're moving from Cape Town, from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and we're really in a city that is at the crossroads now. Where do we see our city in terms of actual structure? How do we remodel the city? There's only one place we can actually grow the city, and that's up north along that West Coast corridor. This is also going to impact how we spatially rethink of a city of Cape Town.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a pivotal question, particularly also, as you pointed out, we've already got a huge housing backlog, and we're struggling to accommodate individuals who are currently within the city of Cape Town itself, and then now we need to accommodate those who are moving in, middle class families who are moving in into the city. And really the options for kind of infill housing are quite limited. And the challenge is to do that in a very inclusive manner and to accommodate not just the kind of your middle class professionals who are coming in, but to also accommodate the working class households who are already in the city and also anticipating future demand for housing from both middle class and working class households. The challenge is now at this moment in time, even before COVID, we were just not building enough houses across the board. And this really, really presents a huge, huge challenge in terms of housing all those who are in need of housing. And it also presents a huge challenge in terms of affordability because ultimately outside of the government subsidized housing, fully subsidized housing, what is available on the market will end up going to those who can afford. And we really need to kind of begin to get creative around how do we build more houses in order to keep up with the demand and to address the backlog, but also how do we make sure that they remain affordable wherever it is in the city that we end up building the houses. Ideally, they should be built in well-located areas, and so that everyone across the city, regardless of class, regardless of race, has access to all the social and economic opportunities and amenities the city has to offer.
And Rene, that's in terms of the theory of supply and demand, a boom of particularly, you know, working to middle class people in Cape Town is going to mean somewhat of a property boom that will probably, you know, be benefiting sellers instead of buyers. We should also be concerned about, yes, we love our economy to grow here, but if property prices, rental prices skyrocket here because of a large influx of working to middle class people, that then also affects the people here in terms of how we see property and rentals.
And I mean, already, you know, from a Johannesburg to Cape Town pure comparison, Cape Town properties are more expensive than Johannesburg properties. So you're already starting on a losing footing if you're moving from Joburg to Cape Town because you're going to be paying more for properties. And I don't see that we have a major shortage. I see a lot of houses around our areas that are for sale and have been for sale for a while. So I think, you know, it depends which areas you're going to. My bigger concern is if there is an influx of people coming in, you know, around schooling and those other facilities. I mean, we've got a child trying to get into a school just in the Claremont area, and there was 1,000 applicants for 100 places.
Wow.
And it's a growing concern. And I would say most of our expats, as well as even national transfers who come down here, schooling to get into a school is one of the biggest challenges. So, you know, it's all very well once, although I know homeschooling is, you know, also an option. I think, you know, we have to be creative, and there are hopefully going to be more opportunities that other entrepreneurials will sort of start up some private schools. But, you know, we're not going to be able to host a huge influx into Cape Town. We have limited space. But I think there are other areas, as, you know, you were saying, is up the West Coast and other areas that could certainly manage some of the influx. But I do think it's cyclical. You know, I think at the moment, you know, circumstantially, obviously Joburg is in decay, despair, all those terrible words that we used in some of the news articles. And so right now people are looking for better options. And right now, you know, the Western Cape government and a huge amount of people who are leaving this country, you know, looking for greener pastures and for better job opportunities.
Renee Stegman, Nobukhosi Ngwenya, thank you so much for joining us. Are you a returnee? Are you from Cape Town, went to Joburg, did the Joburg hustle, came back?
A huge amount of people who are leaving this country, you know, looking for greener pastures and for better job opportunities.
Renee Stegman, Nobukhosi Ngwenya, thank you so much for joining us. Are you a returnee? Are you from Cape Town, went to Joburg, did the Joburg hustle, came back here? Or are you someone who has lived in Joburg all their life and over the last 12 months decided to relocate to Cape Town?